Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. Dave and Jacqueline bring you up close and personal to the innovators, creative minds, and contributors in and around technology, STEM education, and STEM-related career fields of the future. Visit our website at www.technologyespresso.com.net and .org. There you will find our broadcast with guests from all across the technology spectrum, our social media handles, and related content. So sit back with Dave and Jacqueline as they serve up Technology Espresso fast, hot, and intense.
Hello and good afternoon to all of our Technology Espresso listeners. It's time for another STEM Information Podcast, where we're talking about everything related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. This episode is a live episode, and we have a special guest for you. I am so looking forward to hearing about the journey and the success and all of the nuggets of information that Lakeisha Tomlin is going to bring us today. So, hello, Lakeisha. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me today. How are you?
I am awesome, and I know you are as well. I'm so happy. You know, I love to share with our audience. You and I were just talking a little bit before this episode kicked off, and how this is just a conversation, and I feel like it allows our many listeners to kind of eavesdrop on our conversation. So I'm looking forward to our dialogue here and learning about you, your journey, and then you sharing with our audience all of the gifts that you have for them. And being the generous person you are, you have lined up a very special gift for our listeners. So we want to, first of all, thank you on behalf of Technology Espresso and our guests. So first of all, tell us about Lakeisha Tomlin.
Okay, so right now I'm currently working in the aerospace industry. I'm a manager, so I lead a large team of engineers, inspectors, and then some support personnel. So these days that keeps me pretty busy. But outside of that, I'm able to find time to travel. I love travel. I try to go someplace every month. My budget doesn't always allow me to, but I've been to the East Coast a lot. So just this past weekend, I was in North Carolina and South Carolina. Came back to California on Sunday. So that's really exciting. Just meeting up with friends and taking a ton of photos. I'm really into photography as well. Those are some of my hobbies outside of work that kind of keep me busy.
Awesome. Well, you know what? That's just part of the story. I want to take you back a little bit. And even, you know, you said you're in the aerospace area, and we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper a little later. But first, take us back to little Lakeisha. And what even got you interested in this area? Were you always interested? Is this something that evolved? What was that? What was that spark?
Oh, wow. Okay, so little Lakeisha, it's funny that you say that. I just moved recently to a new place, and I was going through a bunch of these old drawings. I used to draw a lot when I was a kid. And in the seventh grade, I created this two-point perspective drawing, and it was a building, and it said Lakeisha C. Tomlin and Associates, Civil Engineering.
Wow.
So that just really, it just took me back for a minute, and I didn't realize that my interest in STEM went back that far. I was thinking that maybe I got interested around ninth grade or so, because at some point I wanted to be an architect. I love architecture. I love the history behind it. And at one point I wanted to design bridges. So my interest in engineering or in STEM went back further than I realized, but I really started to become more interested in pursue the field when I was in high school. I did an internship at the St. Louis Metropolitan Sewer District in St. Louis, Missouri, where I'm from, and one of my mentors, Ron, he introduced me to NSBE, the National Society of Black Engineers. So I learned about, you know, the organization. They meet every month on a Saturday, and then it was just really cool because there were all of these, you know, black engineers, you know, working in various industries. There are some people working at MSD, at Boeing, at Ameren, at Anheuser-Busch. So it was just really cool to see those examples. And there were all of these, like, projects that we have to complete, and some of them related to, like, robotics. Some of them were related around bridge building, so civil engineering, just all types of disciplines. And I just thought that was so cool. And when I graduated from high school and I went to college, I came back to NSBE, to the junior chapter, and I volunteered for many, many years. Teaching, you know, some of the courses in math and physics.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Now, let me dive a little bit into when you found your interest, and you even talked about your mentor, and talk about maybe even at, when did you first get a mentor and that interest, but then that exposure through NSBE. But was there ever an awareness that you being a female, I don't know if you had other female friends, were they interested in the same things as you? And did that ever, for a minute, kind of deter you? Because I know sometimes we're having that issue with a lot of young women that it's mm-hmm. there's a stigma about women in this area. So what was your kind of awareness and experience?
Oh, wow. When I was coming along, and, you know, still now, you know, there wasn't that many people talking about STEM fields. I didn't really see any women, you know, in engineering. I will say when I was interning at MSD, I did meet one woman who was an engineer, and I shadowed her for about a week or two, just learning more about what she did. I thought that was, you know, fascinating what she did at MSD, and I can say that, I mean, there weren't a lot of girls my age at the time interested in engineering. I mean, I'd always been, you know, pretty good at math. I remember tutoring some of my friends in mathematics. To this day, people still know me as, you know, the person that was good with math. So it's kind of fun, but I've always been kind of, I guess, stubborn in a sense, very determined, and the type of person where once I make my mind up on something, there's no holding me back. I put everything into pursuing it, and that's exactly how I was when it came to engineering. Once, you know, I got that exposure through MSD, through NSBE, from mentors, and just learned that, you know, the possibilities are essentially endless when you have a STEM degree. I've met people that have jumped out of engineering into, say, business and finance, and they're, you know, doing amazing because of the background that they've had in STEM. So once I realized all of those things, I'd say from high school to my college years, there was no turning back for me. It was just something I pursued full steam ahead.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And it's just a type of determination. I like that. I like that. But some young women don't have that confidence at a young age. And so were there people around you? Were there any special teachers? Was it even from your parents or perspectives? Who were some of the people that, when you look back, helped you to be able to be that confident?
Wow. I definitely say outside of my mentor, that Nesby, my mom is number one. Like she had me at a really young age, at 16, and then my brother at 17, and then my sister at around 25. So being a young parent, I mean, you know, in having to provide for, you know, these little ones, you have to, you know, essentially be resilient. You have to do, you know, what you need to do in order to make sure that your kids are taken care of. So I saw that example in my mom, like that resilience, that persistence. And then also being the oldest, you know, having to help out a bit and being the example. I think all of those things shaped me into the person that I am today. And even, you know, to this day, you know, many years later, I still tell my mom, like, how, you know, much she's inspired me and, you know, how I'm thankful for, oh my gosh, my eyes are watering. This is crazy. But, like, how thankful I am, you know, for her example and just the fact that she, you know, always instilled in us, you know, the importance of education, the importance to, you know, always be better, to do better, and, you know, not make the same mistakes that she did. And last year, she actually graduated with her master's degree, so I flew from California to St. Louis to see her walk across the stage. It was just incredible. Oh my God! My eyes are watering.
That is beautiful. That is so powerful. And kudos to your mom on so many levels. But like you said, seeing her resilience raising you and your siblings, that it all the way up to today. So much deserved tribute to your mother, even post Mother's Day. But and I think people don't realize is sharing their stories. You never know who you're going to touch. You know, we come on this air to talk about one thing, but I feel like that really is going to resonate with some people. And mothers knowing that the little ones are watching you, and that's how they get their confidence. And are able to pursue and stick it out no matter what the ups and downs are. Never let people count you out. So I love that. I love you sharing that with us. So we never know where these conversations are going to go. But so you got that spark. You had those great people around you, but still there was, you know, you had to take this all in and utilize this to propel you forward. So take us through. You said you were good in math, and I know for some young people, they're a little bit shy of math. You know, it's fortunate when you do early on get the confidence to and find your learning style so that you can conquer math. But take us through. So after you're getting through high school and you start looking at career options and going to college, what were some of the maybe even the highs and lows of college, and then once you made that transition into the workforce? Talk to us about those experiences.
Okay, yes, most definitely. So my journey through undergraduate was a long journey. I did 6 years in undergrad. I started off wanting to do civil engineering because of that whole bridge building, idea that I had. But then once I got to St. Louis University, they said, hey, we don't have civil, we have mechanical. So I looked at the curriculum and I was like, okay, it's close enough. So I pursued mechanical engineering at St. Louis University. I ended up graduating with a dual minor in theology of all things and applied mathematics. It was interesting time. Just theology was more of an interest. I started off dual majoring, but then it got to the point I was done with all of my engineering and I was just ready to graduate. I didn't want to spend the extra semester finishing out the theology degree, so I ended up with a minor. A dual minor, but my journey in undergrad, like I said, it was a long one. Most of the time I worked while I was going to school full time, maybe like 20, 30 hours max while going to school. So it was a bit challenging in the sense of, you know, balancing, you know, hey, I need to have enough money for books and just, you know, general living. And then, you know, making sure that my grades were up so that way I can keep, you know, some of the scholarships that I had. So it was always a juggle, you know, for me in school. And then there were a couple times where I wasn't, like, I'd apply for some scholarships and I didn't get them because I didn't have a 3.5 GPA at the time. And that was one of the things that kind of frustrated me a lot. And one of the things I want to do in the future is establish a scholarship for people in STEM who are working, because I know how hard it is, and it's a bit unfair to when you're looking at the you know, two students, one student is working, you know, almost full time or, you know, part time studying, you know, engineering or whatever, and then you have someone that, you know, has a high GPA, but they don't work. You know, all they do is go to school. I don't feel that that's a fair comparison. So, you know, one day, hopefully within the next 10 years, I want to be able to establish a scholarship of that kind, just, you know, based on my experiences going through school. But with all of that being said, going through undergrad, it was tough. There were some classes I had to take over. There were some classes I actually failed, such as pre-calculus. Although I was really good at math, there was just a lot of things going on in my personal life at the time where I failed that class, and then I took it again the next semester, barely studying, but then I got a B+, which was kind of puzzling to me. It's crazy. And even during that semester where I failed this pre-calculus class, I also got a D in, I think, engineering physics and something else, and then I was put on academic probation. And this was that fall semester of 2005, I want to say. And in 2006, January 2006, the school had to set up so that way if you're on academic probation, you meet with a counselor and you come up with a plan to, you know, get back on track, so to speak. So when I went to the counselor, he looked at my grades the previous semester, and I was on the dean's list. So he was confused. He said, I've never seen this before.
Right.
He said, it looks like you just had a rough semester, take advantage of these resources, you know, which was tutoring and other things of that nature. And he said, you know, you'll be fine. I'm not going to worry about you at all. That's pretty much, you know, what it was. You know, I just had a really bad semester, tough semester, and I never quite made dean's list again, but my GPA wasn't low enough where it put me back on academic probation.
Exactly. And, you know, I love, and I just want to acknowledge and applaud, you know, you sharing the highs and lows, because some people will let the lows just take them out of the game altogether. And no one has, you know, some people might lead you to believe that they have a perfect path, or sometimes people just infer that. They see people at the top or with big titles and think that they never had a worry or problem in their life. But it builds character, too. And something that we even say to young people, which you did, was ask for help. Just don't, you know, just take it as fatal in the end and you weren't meant to be there. Just go and ask for help. And, you know, that even the guidance counselor, like you said, hey, it just looks like a bad semester. Get back in there. And here you are.
Exactly. So, yeah, like I said, you know, I never was on academic probation again. My GPA, my CUM GPA was, it was crazy. You know, when a lot of students, you know, notice this, that, you know, in your first, you know, few years, those are critical, because if you have a bad semester, it's really hard to make up that GPA. And that's kind of where I was. So I never, my CUM GPA never got above a 3.0. I think when I graduated, it was a 2.998 or something. And I remember asking, like, hey, can you round that up? They're like, no, we don't do that. So
understandable.
So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I thought that, you know, having, you know, that GPA would, you know, hinder me from getting into graduate school. But it didn't, not at all. I ended up going to one of the top graduate schools in the world, Johns Hopkins University, and studied technical management. So I like to tell people the story because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, if you get a C or get, you know, an F or something like that, that it's the end of the world. And in reality, it's not. It's just one, you know, factor that makes up, you know, you. It doesn't define you. It's just a small, you know, blip, you know, in your past. And that doesn't mean that, you know, your future is going to be doomed because of that one event.
Exactly. And so you, now did you go straight from undergrad right into graduate school? And maybe what was some of your decisions for doing that? And did you have any internships? And how did you eventually get introduced to your first opportunity?
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay, so let's back up a bit. When I was in undergrad, my first year in school, I knew that I wanted an internship just because, I mean, I talked to some friends and things of that nature, and they were like, you know, flipping burgers and stuff like that. And I didn't want that, you know, for myself. So I got introduced to En-ROADS. They had an event in St. Louis, and I went to the event, started asking a ton of questions, and basically they told me, you know what, we really want our interns to have at least 1 year of undergrad under their belt. So, you know, call us in the fall. And so I remember this. It was the fall of 2004. It was my first semester, full-time semester in undergrad, or 2003, sorry, first semester, and I called En-ROADS. I was like, hey, I'm in college. You know, by the time summer rolls around, I'll have a year. So what can I do? So they're like, okay, you can go through our, it was a training program that they had. And then from that training program, you had the opportunity to develop as a leader. So there was leadership development, career development, and that. And then also you got the opportunity to do mock interviews with hiring managers at different companies. So it was just a really cool program at the time. And after going through this training, I want to say about March or so, I got matched up with the Boeing company and Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis. So I interviewed with Boeing. They extended me an offer, and I accepted it. So that's how I got into aerospace.
That is awesome. Was there initially, early on in your career, you know, going from school, now you're into your first corporate job, so to speak, was there any corporate shock, you know, corporate culture kind of shock for you? Was it an easy transition?
For me, there was a little bit of shock, just, you know, noticing the lack of diversity as far as, you know, gender-wise and racially. That was a shock for me. And the transition for me, I mean, it wasn't a tough one. I mean, I'm the type of person where I get along with most people, and I'm very inquisitive. So for me, the best way to get to know someone is just to ask questions and just show interest. And I felt that by having that demeanor, it made my teammates that I had in that internship in the summer of 2004, you know, more open to helping me and things of that nature. And it was kind of interesting that fast forward to about 9 or 10 years later, I ended up getting a full-time offer with that same department because they remembered me in the internship. So I always tell people who are early career, you know, still in college, looking for internships, whatever, you know, just be open to possibilities. Ask questions. If you don't know, ask. Don't pretend like you know everything, because at that level, being the intern, everybody around you know that you don't know everything. So if you don't ask questions, they'll just assume. And the last thing you want to do is sit there idle or sit there quiet. And then say if there's a deadline that pops up, you're struggling or you don't meet the deadline because you didn't ask questions. It just doesn't look good for you, especially if you're trying to impress that company and get a full-time offer after you graduate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, to your point, and I've heard this in some discussions that I recently had, that they're finding that young engineering students actually – part of having a hard time asking for help is that in some cases they did really well in high school and always were, like you said, labeled good in math or good in science. And so they're used to excelling. So the first time they really get something really is like a gut punch that they just, it doesn't come to them. They, you know, it really takes them back. And so it really is a very real area. Something that you mentioned earlier, though, organizations like NSBE are recognizing that type of thing, and that's why they are kind of there as a support group and an extended engineering family that for people who have gone through that and you know, to fill in their footsteps. But you know, as I say that, I also want to transition that you became a manager. And let's talk about that. Your career really, you know, you had some secret ingredient that you're going to share with us. Tell us about how your career really just took off. What was that big turning point?
Wow. I would say, you know, some of the key factors in that was, you know, just first off, determination. Like I mentioned before, I'm kind of a stubborn person, and once I make my mind up about something, I go full steam ahead to pursue whatever it is, despite obstacles. And it's not easy. Another big key factor in that was networking. Currently I'm at, like I said, I'm at Northrop Grumman. It's an excellent company. I'd actually left Boeing in 2015 from St. Louis, and moved out to California. It was more so because the offer at Northrop Grumman was a promotion. It was going from a level 2 engineer to a level 3 engineer at Northrop. So I was like, okay, you know, it's a promotion. It's a California. Let me, you know, go and check it out. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, hopefully I could, you know, tap into my network back at Boeing and come back. So I kind of had a contingency plan. You know, laid out in my, you know, in my head, you know, if things didn't work out. So coming into Northrop out here in California, I had no contacts. The only people I knew were the two people that hired me. And so, so when I started with the company, I had to wait for a clearance. And people in defense know that the clearance process can be painful. It takes forever. They get all of your business, like checking your credit report, your, you know, who you talk to. Like it's intense, but with good reason. I completely understand the reasoning behind it, but it's just a long process. So waiting for a clearance, and that and it took 6 months for me to get clearance to the program I'm currently on. So during that 6 months, I didn't just sit idle. I spent my time networking, going to events at work, going to offsite events with people at work, and just, you know, getting to know a bunch of different people, a bunch of different departments. I like to interview, like, department managers if it's an area I'm interested in, and, you know, just have a list of questions ready. And what I found is that a lot of people are open to sharing, you know, what their department's about. I think the hurdle that a lot of people have is just, you know, getting over that initial hurdle of reaching out. So after doing a bunch of them, I got really confident at them and just started talking to different departments. So once I got my clearance, that process did not stop. I was in the job that I was hired for. I quickly saw that it wasn't going to be a good fit. So there was a moment of panic there because I pretty much uprooted my life, you know, from the Midwest and moved to the West Coast. you know, just, well, temporarily, but I moved, and it was just like, okay, well, what do I do? Because this doesn't seem like it's, you know, it's what I thought it was. So just continue to network. And then I went to a NSBE conference that year, and I actually met a vice president within Northrop, because Northrop, of course, like other big companies, have their own, like, private events. So I went to this event, met a VP, a couple of VPs, actually, and then I just kept in contact with them just after the conference. So fast forward to 2016, March of 2016, I, at this point, I've sent out over 100 different applications, internal to Northrop and external, just trying to look for something new, basically in management, because before I left Boeing, I was in this amazing leadership program that they had, and basically you got the opportunity to travel to different sites, you got to meet different people inside of the company, and even internationally. So from that, I've learned a lot. I made a bunch of contacts, and I was on the management track there. So at Northrop, I wanted to continue on the management track. So once again, fast forwarding to about March 2016, the VP that I met the year prior introduced me to a VP, the VP of my current organization, which is quality, and the quality engineering organization. So about a month or so later, I had an interview for that department here in California. I interviewed, and I later found out that that VP talked to the director at my site and talked me up. And he was saying, hey, you know, just go through the process. You know, I'm not, you know, don't feel obligated, you know, to hire her or anything. Just, you know, go through the process and just check her out. So so at the time, I did not get the job. But 3 months later, I ended up interviewing again for that department and ended up getting a manager or a management position, level two. So it was kind of cool because in this sense, I got to skip a management level. So I'm a mid-level manager where I run, like I said, this department, a subset of a larger organization. But I run this department. It's a large team. It's a lot of work at times, I will say that. And sometimes the learning curve can be steep. But once again, just asking questions and, you know, pretty much picking people's brain around there, that has helped me to be successful in this role. I've been in the role since September of 2016 and still going strong. So.
Oh, awesome, awesome. You know, you just never know what you're capable of until you, you know, push you to your limits. And then
yeah.
Each time you have that breakthrough and say, hey, if I could do that. And I just love your just go get them, you know. Like you said, full steam ahead.
I don't know what it is. People always ask me, what is it about, you know, you where you just, you know, persist? I was like, honestly, I don't know where it comes from. It's just in me, and I just do it. You know, I just do it.
Well, you know, the other beautiful thing about your experience and your journey is that you at every step are looking and have and will continue to find ways to help other people. You know,
yeah.
You're not kind of just taking on, well, I'm special, you know, good luck, you know, you're on your own. It's more of, hey, I've made it. Here's, you know, some examples that for you to try and to follow to make your way, you know, through this and maybe not have to go through some of the, you know, initial discovery, but, you know, leverage what you've already learned. And some of it's through your wonderful new career planning workbook for ambitious leaders. So talk to us about that journey and creating that and what all is in that.
Yeah, so basically I created this workbook just based off my own experience. In the workbook, you'll find the same questions that I asked myself. And by asking myself these questions, I was able to gain clarity in my career path. And it essentially helped me land the position that I have today. And in that development of that workbook actually came after I got promoted. I kind of sat back and was like, okay, well, you know, I'm starting this blog and I want to create something that's going to help other people. You know, what can I create? And the workbook, the career development workbook was one of the first things I thought of. So I sat down and it actually took me about 6 or so weeks, you know, to write down all of the questions that I asked myself throughout the journey, even before I sent out my first resume. And there's one question in there that I absolutely love. One of the VPs that mentored me at Boeing, he asked me this question. He said, you know, when you're getting ready to retire and they're bringing in the cake and the balloons and everything, you know, what job do you want to have? So I asked myself that question when I started this whole search for, you know, a management position. And for me, that answer to be, you know, VP or president of, you know, some, you know, large company, I don't know, you know, where or what in. Hopefully, you know, Northrop Grumman, you know, because it's an amazing company and there's so much growth right now. We're hiring like crazy. So if anybody's looking for a job, northropgrumman.com. But anyway.
yet another gift that keeps on giving, right?
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, they're hiring like crazy. It's a great time for the company. So when I was developing this book, like I said, I just went through all of the questions that I asked myself when I was looking for a job, and it helped me gain clarity, and it helped me kind of map out a career plan for myself. I don't like to map out my career too far ahead, so the workbook focuses on the next 24 to 36 months. So my belief is, you know, when you take small steps, you know, towards a larger goal, just taking that small step, you know, you'll have wins, you'll see successes, and then that'll give you the encouragement to move forward. And once you start taking steps, it's been my experience that things just tend to fall into place. Sometimes I get opportunities that I didn't even you know, ask for, or things that I wasn't seeking. For instance, just a couple of days ago, I was leaving my building and I ran into a manager that on another program. He was visiting my building or my area for one reason or another. I can't remember, but I in that 6 month period where I was networking and meeting new people within Northrop, I met this manager and I was interested in coming to his organization. And some things had happened, and I ended up getting this promotion. And he told me about another manager, a department manager, who had met me earlier in September or at the end of September and had, you know, liked my style and, you know, was really impressed with my background. And, you know, they were talking about extending me an offer to go to their department, but I just accepted an offer in another department. And the company's rule is that you can't jump to a new job if you haven't been in your new job for 6 months. So, and this was crazy because I didn't even know about, you know, I didn't even know that they were interested in me. I just thought I was just having a general conversation, you know, with two people, but they were looking at, you know, trying to steal me away from my current organization. So I just laughed. I was like, wow, you know what? Thank you, you know, for that. I didn't even know that you all were looking to bring me on, but fortunately for me, I'm really happy with where I'm at. My managers, I have two, a functional and a program. They're both amazing, and I literally like love them. Like it's crazy to use the L word when you're talking about these bosses, but I do like they're great. So I have no intentions on joining that other organization, but it's great to be considered.
I know. It's like, I mean, you're a rock star. You know, people are fighting over you. And that's, you know, it's great to hear people say, you know, like you say, use the L word when they're talking about their career. You know, you're passionate about it. And, you know, people are picking up off of your energy, and you're paving the way. It made some of them may have never experienced a black female engineer to this magnitude, and here you are, a trailblazer, and I think that that is awesome. And I love just even your whole mantra about thriving and winning. Talk about your website. Talk about how people get in contact with you. Talk about some of even your other media exposure. I mean, you really are, you know, putting it out there for other young ladies to look and see that someone can love what they do, and it could be engineering. Engineering is one of those areas that women can thrive in. So talk about that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So once I got, well, taking it back a couple of years ago, I've always wanted to create, you know, something where, you know, I could help people excel in their careers. I just, for one reason or another, I never really pursued it. It was just something that was kind of in the back of my mind. And last year, I decided to take the leap and just, you know, create my website, thrivingambition.com. And I was kind of torn between, okay, do I want to focus on STEM careers or do I want to focus on people going into management? Because I feel that, you know, those two areas, they need to be talked about. So I kind of settled on STEM careers just because it's something that I know a lot about, and I know you know, a lot of people are talking about it, and it needs to be talked about. So when I created my website, I focused more on leadership development and career development for people in STEM, specifically engineers, but mainly people in STEM. And I've created it because I wanted to help people become world-class leaders, you know, for, you know, the organizations that they represent, or if they're looking for something new, I want them to have the skills in order to attract, you know, these top companies. So that way, you know, they could, you know, have people seek them out instead of the other way around. We think that if we apply to a company, you know, that we're going to get seen, and it's not always the case. People call it the resume black hole, you know, when you apply to something online. And a majority of people, you know, who get these top opportunities is, you know, through networking. So I wanted to provide this pretty much this online resource for people to have the information so that way they can get promoted. And then, too, there's a misconception, I believe, that engineers don't know how to communicate. So I wanted to also shatter that myth as well, because obviously, you know, we're having a great conversation here today, and I've spoken to, you know, schools and companies and at conferences, and my communication skills are great. So I want to, you know, be able to help other people develop their communication skills. And that's hard to do, you know, writing a blog post. So that's why I also work with clients through private career consulting. And that's usually just video, and sometimes it's in person, but it's mostly just video. But anyway, I started Thriving Ambition so that way people could, you know, have this a resource, and that way they could, you know, get promoted and know that, you know, there are women, you know, in STEM, you know, who are thriving. There are minorities in STEM who are thriving, and you, you know, could be one of those people as well. You don't necessarily have to be a person of color or a woman, but, you know, just know that, you know, when you have, you know, this STEM degree, this education, that the sky is not the limit. You can go beyond that, and it's just basically up to you and your ambition that determines how far you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I know, because we work with a lot of young people, those early in their careers, and, you know, this is something they should be handing out after people get their diploma, because I think some people think that you get the degree and then the jobs just will come to them, and they don't realize that it's also a process in itself, and that you've got to get ahead of the game. I like the way, you know, the key points on your website, thrivingambitions.com.
com, it talks about stop guessing, you know, don't hope something that will stick, you know, just throwing stuff out there, and,
yep.
you know, get ahead of the game.
Yes, most definitely. And I'm all about getting ahead of the game and, you know, thinking about my, you know, what I want for my life and my career in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. And like I said, that workbook, it's not something that you just use one time. It's something that you use, you know, at different stages. So right now in my career, I didn't realize it until a couple months after being in my job, but I'm at least 5 to 7 years ahead of where I thought I would be. That is amazing. It's scary at the same time, but it's amazing. And it's like, okay, well, what do I want? And I'm looking at all of these organizational changes that's happening. There are a bunch of organizational changes that were communicated yesterday at my company, and they were all for the good. People are moving up, and of course they need people to fill those slots, you know, as people move up, and then also people are moving out as far as retirement as well. So it's like, you know, I always have to be, you know, not necessarily reinventing myself, but, you know, improving myself to some capacity. And I tell people that doesn't always mean you have to get another degree or a certification. It could be, you know, something as simple as, you know, joining Toastmasters or, you know, working with, you know, some sort of coach or consultant if you want to gain new skills. I always believe in working with the people who are in the place you want to be. That's how you accelerate your learning.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we talk about, and I think that this is the culture of STEM, is that continuous learning, lifelong learning, and
mm-hmm.
keeping yourself marketable, because it just
mm-hmm.
changes. And so that's the new, you know, era that we live in and work in, and you want to stay on the top of your game. So I like what you just said and agree. And young people need to understand, because a lot of times, again, they get that degree and they're like, okay, well, I can just kick back and, you know, live off the fat of this degree.
No.
And, you know, even, like you said, it's just even staying networked, you know, staying on top of the jargon, the buzzwords, what's next, reading articles. So like you said, because I do see some people get into the certification or degree, you know, overload. It's like, I'll get another and another. And it's like, but people also are looking for that practical experience, too. So
exactly.
It's a nice balance there. Well, you know,
it's
we
really
are so lucky to have this conversation with you. And I mean, time flies when you're having, you know, when you're talking about so many interesting things. And again, I'm so excited that you do a little searching. You found us, liked what you heard, and sent an email. And we started through Twitter, and then we got connected, and here we are. So, you know, technology is a beautiful thing. You know, this is the platform. It's allowing us to have this global village and to expand and have networks. And I'm going to say, you're invited. Anytime you're in Atlanta, let me know, since you got that travel bug. I know a lot of people like to stop through Atlanta, so let us know.
I was there
ago. I figured, yeah, this is usually one of the stops on the as you make it across the map. So, let us know.
Thank
we'll
you.
Do a live show, and I want to even put it out there that we'd love to do a call-in show and have some people, you know, get the workbook. You can go on the website. I'm looking at it right here at thrivingambitious.com/win, and yes, you can get a free copy of the workbook. So just click and download and connect. And then we can all have a conversation and go through the workbook and hear about how people are using it, and right from the person who wrote it. So I would love to set that up and put that challenge out to our audience.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've already received, you know, some good feedback from people who've downloaded it. and, you know, pretty much telling me how much it has helped them. So, yeah, actually the website, thrivingambition.com/win, I was trying to find a word, you know, that describes, you know, my career or my attitude, and winning, you know, was it. So that's why it's slash win. I was going to do slash success, but I'm like, okay, that's good too, but I want something different, win.
Absolutely. Well, you picked a perfect one. I like everything that you've said and seen. And let them know how they can connect with you via social media, because, again, that was how we even connected. What are some of your social media handles?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So if you want to get in touch with me, of course, you can go to thrivingambition.com. And at the top and on the side, there are some social media sites. So I'm on Facebook. And if you search for Lakeisha Tomlin, that's LakeishaTomlin, you can find me, or you can search for Thriving Ambition on Facebook. And then I'm also on Twitter at Thrive Ambition. You can also find me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/Lakeisha Tomlin. And connect with me there. So those are the three places that I spend the most time on social media.
Oh, well, excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. Continued success to you. We look forward to crossing your paths. If I get out your way, I will definitely be looking you up. And our microphone is open to you anytime. But we definitely want to circle back, and we're going to look at setting a date for that whole meetup around your workbook. And I think that'd be great. But soon as I get off, I'm going to be forwarding the link to several people that I can think of. Any final words that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yes, definitely. To everybody listening, I just want to say, you know, if there's a goal or something that you want to do, just find out, you know, what is the smallest thing you could do to pursue that goal. So, for example, if you want to, say, you know, move up in your career, you could, you know, start searching the web. You could contact me. You could, you know, just make a small step towards your goal, and once you start, you'll gain momentum, and you'll be there before you know it.
Well, awesome. Well said, and again, we appreciate it. So to all of our Technology Espresso listeners, thank you again, and I know that you got a wealth of information. Make sure and share it. Let others hear what Lakeisha Tomlin has shared with us today. Words of inspiration. Absolutely. So with that, we thank you. And until next time, remember to listen, learn, leverage, and launch. Bye for now.
Bye.
You have been listening to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. For a full list of our broadcast archives, social media handles, contact information, and upcoming shows, visit our website portal at www.technologyespresso.com.net and .org. Call our event hotline 855-484-6837 for a list of STEM-related events in various states across the country. That's 855-484-6837. Your feedback is important to us. Send us an email through our website or directly to technologyespresso@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember to listen, learn, leverage, launch.